Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
Profanity Nation.
Yeah, it's the new era of man for some old school fans with a new school brand. We got money on the mic with the plan in hand. And Stat Pat to his left, they go hand in hand. And to the right, we got Simpster, he putting it down. It's the Profanity Nation, we running the town. Yeah,
it's the Profanity Nation.
Profanity Nation.
Hey, welcome to the Profanity Nation podcast, where we are the voice of the professional fan. Thank you for joining us. We generally go live every Sunday night at 8:30. Tonight, we're a couple minutes late because live shows, and that happens. But as usual, I am joined here by my co-host. We have Money Mike over here on the right. How you doing, Mr. Money Mike?
Yo, I'm good. We got to talk about the slap around the world.
I know. That just happened. Amazing. Step Pat, how you feeling?
Yeah, that's like one of the things that brightened up my day right now. That slap was pretty funny, though. Yeah, I'm doing pretty good, though.
Give us something to talk about for a little while, yeah, right?
Okay, maybe you ask Marco about what type of injuries? If he saw the slap, you know, by Chris Rock reaction.
Yeah, exactly. So if you don't know, we're on top of it. Okay, so the Oscars are tonight, and Chris Rock, I guess, is hosting the Oscars, and he made a pretty nice little, really, it was kind of an innocent joke about Jada saying G.I. Joan 2. Sorry. Don't hit me. We're good, right? Seeing G.I. Jane 2 joke, obviously, with her short hair. And then as we saw, it would appear that Will Smith took it upon himself to then walk up on stage. It kind of looked like it was a gag, and either Chris Rock wasn't too worried, and then he just hauled off and slapped or slugged Chris Rock right on stage. And then proceeded, which that could have looked fake, but what looked real was when he went back and sat down and said, "Keep my wife's name out of your effing mouth." And he said that a few times with a pure hatred in his eyes. Right, That's what made it look real. Is that right, Money Mike?
Yeah, sorry. I mean, he definitely was defending his wife on her. So,
all right.
You know, we're going to probably talk more about that next week to find out, how people feel about that. But it's everywhere right now.
The fallout will happen. But let's get started. As always, we always start the show with a buddy of ours, a friend of the show, and his name is Marco Nunez. Let's go ahead and bring Marco on the show. Marco, how are you doing? Thank you for joining us, as always.
I'm doing well. I actually just a few minutes ago, about 15 minutes ago, I think I saw it on Instagram, the whole video thing where you guys were referring to that. I guess they cut it out. It was a slap. Now, one thing you did mention right now is that when he sat down, he made a couple of comments with a straight face and a very serious face. But I'm going to give him a little credit on that part because he is an actor.
Right. You know what the rumor is right now, though, that apparently a vote went in his direction because he won the award. So maybe he scared somebody to give him the award. Hey, Marco, I hate for us to talk about the same thing over and over and over again, but we're going to probably do it because it was hilarious to me. I was looking at the report with Steph Curry, right? And the report said, and I quote, "out indefinitely, she'll be ready by the playoffs." And I'm like, damn it. Like, why are we going through the same thing again? How do you say out and definitely will be ready by the playoffs? Because isn't that like an oxymoron? And I know we talked about it before, but they said that he has a sprained ligament. You know, and this was the injury that happened when Marcus Smart went and he dove for the ball. Mm-hmm. Some called it a dirty play. I didn't call it a dirty play. I didn't think it was, and he had a sprained ligament. But isn't that really like what a sprain is? Ligaments getting sprained?
Oh, correct. So when you sprain with the P, you sprain ligaments, and you strain with the T, you strain muscles. Okay. So in this case, he has a sprained ligament. Depending on the ligament that he has and the severity of the degree of the sprain, meaning in first, second, third degree is a mild sprain. any typical ligament within a mild sprain could be anywhere between like 1 to 3 weeks. But that's just a rule of thumb. Doesn't mean it applies to everybody. A third degree sprain could be anywhere from like 4 to 6 weeks, up to 8 weeks possible, depending if there's a rupture, tear, anything of that sort. Now, the word indefinitely, and this is something I think the NBA started using. They used to use it a lot before, and then the NBA say, no, we can't use indefinitely. You got to put a timeline. But I think it got people into not necessarily trouble, but there was a lot of, okay, well, you said 4 to 6 weeks. What's going on here now? Now the word indefinitely kind of gives the player and the team a little leeway to kind of play around with. Hey, you know what? We don't have a timeline. We've got to give him all the time he needs, but he should be ready for playoffs, type of thing.
I mean, so, but that makes it not indefinitely. Like if you say, I mean, why wouldn't you say
it's literally
he's out for the Nets, you know, 10 games, you know,
hoping he'll be back for the playoffs or something along those lines. Yeah.
Well, because this gives him a little, there's a little gray area. In other words, right? It's basically if Steph Curry feels really good and he wants to come in for to kind of get a little conditioning or game shape, so to speak, like a game or two before the actual playoffs, instead of waiting to the actual playoffs, this gives him a little freedom to kind of play around with that versus saying, hey, you know what? He's out indefinitely or he's out for the rest of the season. We're hoping to be back, I think. And then all of a sudden he pops back. It's like, what's going on? You said he's not. Now he's back in. Or vice versa. Hey, he should be back by the end of before the season ends, but what happens if he doesn't? So it's just a play on words, indefinitely meaning we're not quite sure. We're given the freedom to come back, not come back, wait to the playoffs, or stuff like that.
Okay, cool. And let me ask you. So, you know, I think we've been hearing rumblings about like Malik Monk. You know, I guess it's gonna take 82 games to get this guy back, and they have AD. Actually, they're talking about the timeline at the same time. But, you know, what is there a real reason or purpose where they travel with the team and they come out and do their little warm up when they know they're not playing? You know, I got to thinking about that, like, you know, what is it, 15, 20 minutes for the warm out? Mm-hmm. So then they go and they put the shorts on and they warm up with the team knowing that they're not going to play. Why is there a reason why somebody that's coming off of rehab, they go out there and just do the warm-up knowing they're not going to play? Like, I feel like that's, in my opinion, that's just a waste of time for them to be doing that. Because they could be doing that in the gym, you know, at practice, all these other times. Why are they just going out there taking up shots during that time? Is there a reason from that, from a maybe coaching standpoint? Or
I mean, usually by the time they start kind of getting out there before the game begins and kind of start warming up the team and kind of getting some shots up, is that they're trying to kind of test their ankle, and it's part of the rehab process. And usually what we do is, hey, you know what, as athletic trainers, that's not our area as far as on the court, you know, getting shots up. So what we'll do, we'll sit down with the coach. Hey, if you're going to go out there with the player today, he's okay to go out there for 15, 20 minutes, work on spot shooting only. He can only spot shoot for the next 20 minutes. Then we see 24 hours, see how his ankle reacts, see how his knee reacts, or anything of that sort. Okay, today you can go out there and do like a one step. He goes one step to the right, one step to the left, but it's in a controlled environment. So it is part of the rehab as far as trying to kind of return them back to play. And we'll do it directly with those coaches, which is the shooting coach or the passing coaches, and kind of they'll kind of take over and do a little bit of the rehab as far as more of the sport-specific type of thing or the return to play and a little bit of conditioning. Then we'll get feedback from the coach. Hey, you know what? How did he move while you're out there? And they'll give us a little feedback. Hey, you know what? He looked like he was smooth to the right, but to the left, you can still see he was kind of favoring it type of thing. So oftentimes, that's still part of the return to play process. So it's not like, hey, just go do whatever you want to do, see what happens, and kind of come back. So if he's out there shooting before the game, it's actually a good sign. That means that he's progressing and he's moving forward.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. I mean, I got that. I'm just like, you know.
Like,
why at that time? You know what I mean? Like, why, you know, they could be doing that to practice or – no, earlier in the day.
But what happens sometimes, and this is what may happen, is that it may be in a back-to-back, and they get there, they may have no shoot-around. And there's some teams that don't have shoot-arounds anymore. And oftentimes we would do this at a shoot-around. So the team goes in the morning, they do the shoot-around from like 10 to 11, and oftentimes this player that's doing rehab will stay there at the arena after the players are gone, and we'll do some of this rehab there on-site. Now, this case scenario, I don't know whether it was in a back-to-back. Maybe coach canceled shoot-around, so they didn't go to the arena. The arena wasn't available, so they have to do it right before the game. So it just depends on the situation.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, cool. I like I said, I'm just – you know, there are things, you know, I obviously in talking to you and seeing all these different rehab things, like, why are you out there? Like, you know, I feel like he's going to get hurt again.
Like, so slowing it down or putting them behind. You know, I have a question for you, Marco. As these teams start to head, the NBA, of course, as they head towards playoffs and or actually head into playoffs, does the practices or the training of the medical staff, does anything change? Is it more intense, just like it is for the games and so forth? Or does the hydration increase because games are more back-to-back, the stress levels are higher? Does anything change on your behalf, or is it just status quo?
It's pretty much status quo, but to be honest with you, as far as going into the playoffs, is actually more beneficial because you do not have any back-to-back games whatsoever in the playoffs. So you have some time to kind of have them up to recover. Sometimes there's probably 2 days maybe in between, especially if you're switching over from the two games at home, now you got to go play 2 games on the road. But the downside, of course, is you want to get home court advantage. If you start off on the road the whole entire playoffs and you're on the road, then that is kind of a little bit of a disadvantage. And you have to kind of prepare depending on the city that you're going to, whether you're going to go to Utah, which is high elevation. There's a lot of dryness. You go to Denver, that's also high elevation. There's a lot of dryness, anything of that sort. But the huge part about in the playoffs is that there are no back-to-backs whatsoever. But you also want to try to get your players to peak, so you are kind of watching they're managing their load and stuff like that as you're progressing. At the same time, once a team clinches, you kind of start resting your guys, but then even though they may not play during the games, you are doing some kind of strength and conditioning on the side to make sure they still stay in shape, ready for the playoffs. They're not going to just not do nothing whatsoever.
Okay. I have one more question, and this one might possibly qualify as a out of bounds, but not like you're out of bounds, but just like an out of bounds. Like, really? You're asking that goddamn question? Yes, mm-hmm. I am. Okay. So historically, we've kind of heard like boxers and such, they will restrain from having sex before a boxing match. Is that ever recommended for basketball players? And is there any science to that at all, that women make weak legs, so they say?
I guess the question just depends what woman it is.
Or a Jenner, yes. No, go ahead.
I'm not going to throw any names out there, but I'm going to say it probably begins with the K.
There you go. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. I guess it depends on the female. You know what? It's an interesting question. I think I had ran into an article something about it, but I haven't read anything specific science regarding that.
Okay.
I mean, the only thing I could think of as far as, you know, as males, I don't know this, you know, if you sustain from abstinence, you're going to build a little frustration and anger, and I guess you're just going to take it on your opponent.
Yeah, it is good. I could definitely see that, right? Boxing, that helps, exactly. Everything else, it kind of slows you down and frustrates you, and you're not very productive at work. Anything else for Marco, guys? We're good? All right, Marco. Thank you so much. We're going to let you rewatch the Will Smith slap.
Yeah, because we want you to report on that. Like, you know,
the injuries.
Are you able to measure, like, if it was a first degree, second degree? You know, do you know what type of injuries? Like, will he have a black eye tomorrow from the slap?
Like, on that part. We'll see.
All right.
Exactly.
We have an EU point on Chris Rock this week.
All right. Thank you, Marco. We'll see you next week. Wait, before you go, please let everybody know how it's best to keep up with you and what you've got going on. Definitely, please.
Oh, yeah. If you guys have any questions regarding sports injuries, sports recovery, anything like that, feel free to DM me on my Instagram at MarcoANunez17. Or please follow me on my YouTube channel subscribe to my YouTube channel at Evolve Athletic Performance.
Thank you so much, Marco. We'll see you next week. Have a good one.
Take care.
Yeah. For sure.
Have a good night. All right. So that's great. Okay. Let's just jump right back into exactly what we're talking, because that is just crazy. Okay. We're going to assume that this was real and that Will Smith just straight hopped up there. Okay. Let's break this down. Number one, who do you think you are that you could do that to anybody?
You're
going to a show like that and everybody gets ripped. I mean, everybody, it's basically a roast. From what I saw, there had to be something before.
Well, I will say this. Okay, so Jada Pinkett is dealing with alopecia. So that's the disease where you lose all of your hair. And she's been wearing her hair in that manner to gain awareness for that disease. And so if she's dealing with that,
Daniel Artes, how are you? We love you, DA.
That being the case, he just probably got tired of the jokes. I mean, at this point in time, everybody calls Will Smith a simp because of the whole August thing, you know, with Jada, you know, her entanglement that she had before. And so this is one time And yeah, it's a bad setting, everything, especially on the night that he wins an Oscar, is going to get, you know, clouded with that image rather than him giving his great, you know, successful speech. But at this time, man, he was playing with street rules, and Chris Rock knew that he was picking on Jada instead of making a lighthearted joke. So that's how I looked at it. Yeah, he probably shouldn't have slapped him, but he got slapped. We just got to deal with it now.
At this Money. Point.
Yo, I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, a whole lot of women are going to love Will Smith for for defending, you know, his wife's honor. You know, so at the end of the day, you know, based on what, you know, same thing what Pat said is like, you know that there was a possibility for the joke. You probably should let it go. But every, you know, he, listen, there's going to be about another 100,000 more women that's going to want Will Smith because he defended his wife. So, you know. And hey, congratulations to him. I'm not gonna talk about him. Nobody else gonna talk about Jada.
Well, at the same time, now what people are saying, you know, on the Twitterverse, you know, that him doing that is going to open the door for other people that feel that they can go on a stage and smack comedians if they're saying something bad.
Well, no, that's not just comedians. But if he can do it, why can't I smack you for saying something bad? Obviously, we all know that's not it. So we can go. It's not what we're trying to show our kids.
So the question is, does Chris Rock press charges for assault?
No.
Yeah, I mean, he can't. I mean, but everyone, it was funny because if you go on Twitter, everyone wants Will Smith to be like escorted out of there. It was assault. He should be arrested and all this other stuff like that. And it's kind of it's kind of call.
Daniel says fallout from this might be minimal. A lot of people on social media supporting the slap heard around the world.
Right.
You know, like you said, so you see.
Yeah. I mean, he just got way the more
chivalry
sexy.
That they call it. I guess.
Yeah, he got way more sexy,
bro.
Know what I mean? But you know what though? He may be putting it hard on us regular people. You know what I'm saying?
You know what? Now that we bring it up, this isn't the first time he slapped someone either. There was a comedian that tried to kiss him at a movie premiere in Europe or somewhere, and he slapped him. Do you remember that?
Yes, I did. Like,
well, that's self-defense.
He's a slapper.
And that's self-defense.
He's a slapper. Hey, I didn't know Will Smith was a slapper.
Open hand, nice form.
You know, wow. That was definitely shocking, but we'll see what the fallout is. Thank you, Daniel, for commenting on it.
Which won't be any.
We'll see what it is. Well, there'll be some fallout. Not necessarily he's going to jail, but there'll be some fallout. We'll see. But let's get to what matters here, guys. And what matters.
I got one question. Because I'm kidnapping your segment right now.
Go ahead.
How close are we to the 11th seed? I'm just asking the question.
One game?
I'm just asking. How many games we got left? Hey, Fredo, where you at?
Where you at, Fredo?
All I'm saying, look.
Okay, recap the bet.
Okay, so, hey, everybody know, first of all, I hate that I had to make this bet, but, you know, Money Mike is a real one, right? So the bet is that I said that I bet Fredo that the Lakers would not be in the play-in game.
They wouldn't even make it to the
play-in.
They
would not make it to the play-in game, and it's a $100 bet. Now, I want to be wrong. I want to pay the $100 off. You know what I mean? I want to. I want to be wrong. I want to give us like an opportunity.
You're hoping you'll pay the $100 to be wrong.
But I'm telling people, in all this love for LeBron for no reason, you know, how do you lose a 23-point game?
Pelicans.
You know, we play the Pelicans, who are under us, or actually, my bad, they're above us now. And we're up by 23, and we lose the game. You know, how does the GOAT
allow that to happen?
Allow that to happen. Tell me the second GOAT, you know, let's say Jordan. Does Jordan allow that to happen? Kobe. People don't even want to call Kobe the GOAT. Does Kobe allow that to happen? You know, does, you know, in what superstar? I mean, we can name a whole lot of people. Does Isaiah Thomas allow that to happen? Does, you know, Bill Russell allowed that to happen? Does Kareem allow that to happen? Does Magic allow that to happen? Like,
Definitely games they've all allowed it to happen.
I don't think so.
Oh, I'm sure you can find a game that the Lakers in Showtime era were up 23. The question is, do they allow it to happen in such a time when we need those games? No, that's the question.
Wait, hold on, Pat. I want to push back on you that. Okay. Pat, is this true or not? When the Lakers in Showtime era, they only wanted to play three quarters.
Right. They were blowout teams.
Right, yeah. And then in the fourth quarter, if they didn't take the lead and then Magic had to take his ice pack off, look, they were hearing it.
Yeah. And one thing about this has probably been following LeBron his whole career when it comes to him being a closer, but only in his own way. And what I say by that is because in the classic sense of a closer, what you were talking about, Money, about Jordan, about Kobe, about these guys, where it's like, okay, we're down by 10, or not even that, we've seen this 23-point lead slip away, and now we ran the offense, and we're not getting results, and we're only up by 6. Now I have to take over the game. I have to do that. And all of the ones you were saying before have been that player where they take on over the game by getting buckets, not by getting the guys open and creating for others. Like, that's something that I understand that he's great at. I understand that he's probably one of the best at doing that. But what happens is, when we need buckets, I need you to get buckets. That's what you're here for. You're the man. You're not supposed to pass it out there and hopefully Malik Monk bail you out. And so that's where we're at right now. You know, we got Daniel right now.
Look, you got people coming your way. Look, go ahead and read that one. Go ahead and read it, Mike.
Hey, I love this. He said, y'all might be done. This season is crazy, and part of me wants to blame LeBron. Hey, first of all, all of me wants to blame LeBron,
I'll finish it. Love his game, but honestly, I think he should have had some uncomfortable conversations with players. Mm-hmm. They'd be losing and laughing and joking. I agree. They're not showing much spirit there. One thing about Kobe I appreciated was seeing is he was having none of that, no matter who it was. Absolutely. I remember specifically Kobe going on Jimmy Kimmel. And Jimmy Kimmel,
oh my God,
showing him clips of Swaggy P and Nick Young, and they're all laughing. And
he's just looking like, oh, what my God.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He said if he was there, that wouldn't be under his watch.
Yes, right. Exactly.
So now,
exactly.
Daniel, you say you're hoping that they're going to make the play-in. Why? I mean, we don't win back-to-back games. So, mm-hmm. we know that they're not going there. If they win that first one, they're going to lose the second one anyway.
Yeah.
So do you really think that that they'll be able to make the playoffs and – let's just say make an impact. That's my question, Daniel. If you can answer that.
I don't know. I mean, we're talking about making an impact. The impact is no less than the conference championships. And that's where we have to think that's where it still needs to be. I don't care if they're the 10th seed. I don't care. Your goal still is to make the conference championships. I don't care. You put yourself in that position, the expectations doesn't go away. So you want to call yourself a championship contender? All right, it's time to show and prove. Now, like you said, Money, and we talked about this last week, they haven't won two games in a row against good teams in so long. And if you look at that schedule.
Against bad teams. Against any team.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? And now we're thinking about, you look at the gauntlet that they have the last 8 games against playoff caliber teams. Are we going to win half of those games? I don't even know.
All right, I've got a question then for you, Stat Pat. How do you feel about Money Mike's bet with Fredo?
Is he looking really good right now?
His percentage just went up. Like when you're watching he's poker really and they good. Put down the river card, you're like, oh, the percentage just changed.
Yeah, right. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Your pair of sevens look
exactly.
All good.
Right now. Yeah. All of a sudden now it's 90%.
So, yeah.
So you're saying you actually like the bet now on Money Mike's I better, hate to like that's
it.
For sure.
I hate to like it.
Oh, no, but that's okay.
But sure. I see what I see. And unfortunately, these guys are not trying to – I mean – we're talking about LeBron. Do we have another closer? Do we have anybody that can help him? That you know, and I know we've saying this before, but it's like we need other people that make shots, close the game. But LeBron, it got to start with LeBron. And at this point in time, are we going to give him a pass for this season? I know everyone wants to say that he's wasting an MVP type of season, but
he still needs MVP though.
He still needs to have so I would say this. If now, of course, Kobe Bryant made the playoffs when he got robbed from Steve Nash. But if Kobe Bryant, I mean, if you know, Nash was putting up these kind of stats that LeBron would be, I'm like, okay, that makes sense now.
Yeah.
But he wasn't. And I'm saying that if you are leading the league in scoring like Kobe was, and like, are you always going to be in the conversation? Kobe was. Kobe didn't win it.
Look,
you know, that's what I'm saying.
Well, look, first of all, I don't have a problem with them being in the conversation. But then if you are the most valuable player, which tells me that you are the player that makes a difference between wins and losses. That's my only thing.
Period.
Right. So if you are not making the difference between wins and losses, then you're not, to me, an MVP.
I mean, it makes sense, right?
I don't care if you score 50 points a game, like, but you're not winning. But we're losing by 20. Like, these are not close games. No. You know, so you can score 35, we lose by 20, you're the first one in the tunnel. Dog, there's no way you're on MVP. Mm. Anyway, let's see what Daniel said. Daniel said he just wants to make it there. Okay, well, yeah. You know, I need for it.
And he said, you know, they have no draft picks this year. So if they miss the playoffs, they lose their draft pick anyways. So there's no reason to miss the playoffs. So I agree with you there.
And the draft pick issue is because of LeBron, because we traded everybody
for Westbrook. Exactly. All right, guys, let's keep the show moving here. I would like to touch on a subject that I think we're all really happy about. Vanessa Bryant, so the Bryant estate,
yes,
and Nike have reached a deal. They are going to continue to produce the Kobe shoes through Nike, and not only that, but they're going to produce the Mambacita shoes, and those are all going to go to charity, the Mamba Foundation and the Mambacita Foundation. So Vanessa did a wonderful job. I have a feeling she probably had to fight very hard to get Nike to do and to take those terms. But she did a great job. And because she fought so hard, all of us will get the benefit of seeing those shoes. Mm-hmm. And if we want, we can help the Mamba and Mambacita Foundation.
Let me just say that. You said it right. All of us will get the benefit of seeing the shoes. We ain't gonna be able to get none. You know, you guys already know
that sneakers app.
Yeah, you already know those sneakerheads, and they only gonna have 5 pair in every size.
Yeah,
and it's gonna be gone. Cause I know I was trying to get a Mamacita sweatsuit that was overpriced, and those were gone. I'm like, you know, my only thing about, first of all, I think it really is an amazing, thing that they did work something out. I really was upset with Nike. And I thought it was really, honestly, really uncharacteristic of how they kind of treated the whole situation, because usually Nike has historically been back behind, you know, players, and they were back behind, you know, Kobe when he was going through his issues and stuff, you know. So I just didn't understand what the rhyme or reason was for Nike to kind of release a shoe that they knew they wasn't supposed to be released. But I'm happy that you know, it was a lot of groveling probably. And Vanessa accepted their apology, you know, 100% of the proceeds of Gigi shoe.
Net proceeds.
Make sure we understand.
The Gigi shoes, yes.
You guys have to watch really what's been said. Like, Gigi shoe, 100% of Gigi shoe is going to the Mambacita Academy. They didn't say nothing about the Kobe shoe.
That's coming home.
Right. Yes. Kobe shoe is coming home.
It's a business. They got to
make
money.
So we understand that. But no, I think it's a really amazing thing that Mambacita Academy is definitely doing a lot of good things out in the community. So yeah, I'm happy to be able to see the shoe. It's coming out May 22nd, which is Gigi's birthday. And I think it's so appropriate. And I actually like the shoe. It's going to be retailed at $189. And on the black market, it's probably going to be $1,000.
On Craigslist, eBay, and the other Grailed, and you name it.
Right.
I do like my sneakers, as you guys know. But, you know, there's a lot of places you can get in line and get your sneakers. There's one place, if I'm right, and I'm just going to give them a shout out. I believe they're called Culture Kings. There's a few stores worldwide. They will only sell you those shoes. They make you wear them out.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah, you have to wear them out. That's the only way they'll sell them. So you get in line, you can buy a pair. You got to put them on, and you got to wear them out. So that's the only way they'll sell you shoes of that caliber.
Really?
Do you like that rule, Money Mike?
That's really interesting.
You have to wear them out.
That's really interesting, because if you don't want any creases, and then they all of a sudden become used. So now I can imagine everybody's walking out, you know, really
careful.
Careful.
Man.
You know, so, yeah. But what that means is that they're saving the shoes for people who are hopefully wearing the shoes. Do you like that?
Because I'm no, you know okay. why? Because I'm scared
to wear those
to wear them out. Because like at least when you're at home, you know your terrain. You know, like it rained last night. I'm not wearing these shoes out. Like I know if I go somewhere, they're gonna be puddles. Like you know what I'm saying? Like
and you're not walking in.
But what if it's like what if it's raining today?
It's the rule.
Okay.
Then you walk out and you take them off as quick as you can.
I mean, you're not.
Put on your rain boots.
You don't have enough time. The rain is coming down.
Well, especially like some of the suede versions of shoes. No.
See, I don't like that.
But, you know, I don't mind it because at least, you know, the actual users of the shoe, the wearers, you get to wear them. But I do like to choose when I'll wear them. And that might be for a special occasion. But at least it keeps the shoe there.
Summertime store.
And it keeps it for people there. All right, guys. So we've hit a little bit on the Lakers. Of course, the NBA season starting to wind down. The Lakers are not necessarily catching fire. They cannot put together two good games, yet alone two good quarters, yet alone two good minutes. We're still talking about whether or not they'll even make it to the playoffs or the play-in game. And that is actually in question. Which when we had Trevor Lane on the show a couple of weeks back, he couldn't even fathom that that would possibly happen with where the team was. And now that very well could happen.
That's reality.
Yeah, well, it's definitely a reality. So that definitely could happen. So that is what it is. You know, the other teams are still kind of jockeying for position, but the NBA is just kind of winding down. So we'll keep an eye on that. We'll see what happens. And of course, we'll keep that up to date with you guys there. But we're also kind of, we like to review and we've been watching a show and I know Stat that you didn't get a chance to watch this episode. That's okay. We won't do any big major spoilers for anybody, but
earmuffs.
We're going to go. Yes, Zach, earmuffs. We're going to go ahead and talk about episode 4, I believe. Correct.
Yeah.
Of Winning Time. And that's of course the HBO special about the Showtime Lakers, Jerry Buss, Jerry West, Magic Johnson, Norm Nixon, you name it. And that that show is actually based on a book that one of our previous guests, Jeff Perlman, wrote. Mm-hmm. And we are looking to have him back on the show so we can talk to him about that soon. And we'll let you know. But let's go ahead and get to it, guys. Right off the bat, for the show in general, as soon as it was released, a lot of people who were in the know seemed to feel that it was a mischaracterization of Jerry West. Nobody seems to be saying anything about Buss.
And
he's basically a womanizing slob out there. So no one's saying anything, but they did say about West. The West storyline seems to be slowing down a little bit, and they're getting more into their first coach in this one, or at least during training camp money.
Yeah, you know, I thought I knew everything about or had some evidence of everything. I never knew that he went after targeting, you know, to coach. Which actually I think would have actually, if he would have got targeting, it would have been a really interesting dynamic, you know, with them. You know, because you know targeting from, you know, the Running Rebels and what they did out there, and he was legendary. And I knew the history of targeting, you know, but let's just talk
about the colorful
about
history.
Yeah, like let's talk about that a little bit. Like,
go ahead.
Do we think that they would have been able to win their championship, you know, like they did in Magic rookie season if they would have got targeted?
Jerry Tarkanian was actually that guy where he does have the offense. Now, I don't know about his defense though. That's the thing about. I mean, I know about the Running Rebels, and the Running Rebels used to run up and down the court, and especially when they had Stacey Augmon and, you know, Anderson Hunt and Greg Anthony and Larry Johnson. They were just athletically better than everybody they played. So their defense was based upon their athleticism. They played a lot of the they played a good like matchup zone. Sometimes they switched on demand. So they were really good. Would that have worked in especially Jerry Tarkanian being who he was and his personality, and how would that mesh with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar? I mean, that's what everyone's like basically saying. Like, yeah. Everyone's tiptoeing around Cap. You know, everyone wants to make sure they're in good with Cap. And so does his personality, which we know was brash, would that have worked with Kareem? I don't know if it would have. Now, Magic would have flourished because that's his style. He would have flourished. However, is he going to get all of the team on board? I don't know if he would have done that.
Well, you know, and that's what's interesting about this new episode. Sorry, guys. Spoiler alert. And Clubhouse, if you want to comment, go ahead and blink your mic. That's what was interesting because when McKenna came in, you know, mm-hmm. and he was like, yo, we about to go up here and run. You know, Kareem was, you know, they had him running down the field and Kareem was just like stopped. And was like, I'm not running anymore.
He's done. Yeah.
He was, and, you know, done. And then they were playing their game and he was just on the side, you know, he was just sitting on the bench like, I'm good. I'm not running, you know, anymore. So he still, you kind of see a little bit of that pushback in this series because, or this episode, because he, you know, it sounded like he never really liked that run and gun mentality that they had.
I mean, if you think about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and where he come from, he come from the school of John Wooden. He's, you know, he's classic. You know, he won a championship with a dynamic point guard, and he being the big man when he was with Milwaukee, so with a bit the big O. So, that's how he wants to play. That's at that time, that's how he wanted to play because that's what he knows. He's good at it. You know, he has an MVP season, you know, before all this happened. So, but one thing I also, going back to, you know, what you were saying, you know, Simpson, was basically about how this, some people were having some pushback on this show. And I always maintained that I believe there's some hint of truth to all of the stories. Mm-hmm. Like, I know people are looking at what they've perceived before and what they were fed back in. Because remember, how are we getting the information about Magic or about Kareem in the 80s? We're getting it through magazines. We're getting it through newspapers.
Filtered sources.
We're getting it filtered.
Very
we
filtered,
don't know
yeah.
any of this. Yeah. Basically, they're shielding these players for not giving you the ugly truth. Because we don't really know that Magic was out there until the HIV happened. We didn't. It was 10 years he was doing this. We didn't know he was out there until after he had the physical evidence. It's like, yo, bro, they're out there. You know what I'm saying? But so all that, like Captain, like, you know, Kareem not playing, not wanting to play, there probably was some truth to that.
Oh,
like,
I believe that.
I don't think he was as you know, amicable when it comes to playing the game. I think he was kind of abrasive. I think they had to work around him. They're not just saying that just because, oh, well, we just want to put their people's names in the dirt. No, it's literally probably, you know, Kareem was not that guy. Like, you know, so I don't know. I just feel like sometimes I really believe that when it comes to the Lakers, everything was, I mean, we got results, but a lot of that stuff was true. I mean, you know, we could talk about how much is it true or not, but I'm not going to be saying that Jerry West wasn't a neurotic or Kareem wasn't an asshole. I mean, I'm going to go that far.
But here, listen, you know it was women around for sure. Because, you know, Jerry Buss was the one that was bringing them. So, I mean, you know, he hung out, you know, with Hugh and he always had women all around. Like, and what he was... Man, wow! I mean, it's kind of wild on what Jerry was doing, and it seemed like it was a well known fact that's just who he was.
Mm-hmm.
So it wouldn't be a surprise for that to go on to the players. I mean, look, we know that James Worthy, remember when he got caught, and you know, with a whole lot of.
James Worthy got caught.
Yeah, he got caught. Like, you know,
if y'all don't know what happened to James Worthy, y'all go ahead and just look that up because I don't want to go ahead and put his name out there. But he got caught with some prostitutes.
Yeah.
I guess you just did that, didn't you?
You got caught with some prostitutes.
That's we'll just say that.
Hey, man, I'm even.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. That, to me, doesn't even make any sense. Like, why am I paying for that?
When you can pretty much...
When you have people auditioning.
Yeah, you know what? Because you don't want any hassle, and you don't want to even play the game. You just want to go to it and get it done. Yeah. I guess.
Well, you know what?
Not that I know. I swear.
But you know what? But see, I guess back in the day, you know, like right now, you already know it's still kind of going on. It's rampant, but they're pretty smart now. There's NDAs that they have to sign.
Electric, you know? on your phone, as a matter of fact, if I recall correctly.
Right.
Overall, guys, I'm actually enjoying the series. What do you guys think? You're looking forward to the next episode each time?
Yeah. I want to see what's happening. I have to admit, like, the third episode was a little slow, you know, for me. But You know, but this one, yeah, it definitely ramped it up. It tells you foundationally about, you know, the idea of Showtime, and they were kind of all putting that together. Man, I didn't realize, like, you know what I was thinking about, like, is rich people broke is different than my broke. You know, like I'm watching this, and they're talking about this guy's about to go bankrupt. Oh, you know, he's gonna lose everything. But they got some real nice cars.
Man. And they're still eating good at the pool.
They're eating really good at the pool. Yes. They got the beautiful women. Like, they're living a life like, I want to be rich broke. You know, like.
Instead of broke broke.
Instead of broke broke. Right. Like, you know what I mean? Exactly. Yeah, because if I call you up saying, man, I ain't got it. I really ain't got it. You,
yeah, it's so true.
You know, they are sitting up there. Like, no, we're not gonna talk about how I'm about to lose how I don't have any money.
And we're just gonna keep spending.
You're right. And they're in luxury though. They're going to these high-end restaurants, and the whole narrative is we're broke. Like, where's that money that they're paying? That's my definition of broke is different than their definition.
Yeah, and that's why Jerry Buss right now is the star of this show.
Because
honestly, my man has literally willed this team into success. It was literally his "I'm not taking no for an answer" attitude with the energetic, you know, Magic Johnson coming in to help with that to get them where we know who they are today. I mean, and it's just that when you see about Jerry Buss and you see him, I mean, all the things that he did behind the scenes, he was trying to make moves. And as you tell, it goes back to, remember, back in the day when we were talking about the filter news and the filter news about, like, you know, Jerry Buss and how he was a playboy. But at the same time, we also know that he was a big-time poker player.
Oh, big time, yeah.
Big-time poker player. You know what I'm saying? And when we talk about you, if you have that in the back of your mind, you see him, his life is a big-time poker game. You know, and he's playing to win. At the same time, he could lose it at all moments.
And he definitely went all in.
Yes, that's cool. Right. And that's really cool to see how he didn't have it all together in the beginning. It wasn't like he bought the team, I'm going to put my imprint, my, you know, attitude or personality upon it, and then we're just going to see results. He was, you know, going, you know, flying by the seat of his pants.
You know what?
He was winging it the whole way.
Guys, we've done many episodes. And we've hosted many guests. Isn't that a common thread that we continue to see, whether it was Jason of Beverly Hills, Chef Him, that they just went for it? They didn't, just like Buss, he didn't know exactly how he was going to do it. He didn't care. He saw the vision. He got the chance. And he just, I'm going. Mm-hmm. I mean, right, buddy?
I mean, absolutely. Like, you know, Jason Beverly Hills, especially Jeff Hamilton, who I think we're going to have in a couple of weeks real soon. They all said that they just went and did that, and then now they're very, very successful in what they do. And then, you know, and I want to adapt that mentality, but it's really scary because if it don't work, you know what I mean? You like have like, man.
You can't go with that.
It's like I can't fail.
That's not the, you know what I saw? Yeah. I saw a brief interview with Eddie Murphy. And Eddie Murphy said, this was a long time ago, and he stated that, you know, he sees parents tell their kids that they need a backup plan, they need a plan B. And he said, all you're doing is giving them the process to fail. He's like, they don't need a plan B. They'll figure out a plan B when plan A fails. Go for it. Let them go. Let them put all their money in and let them put all their assets there. That's generally what he said. So other people feel a little different. Who knows? Mm-hmm. But yeah, you know?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I would love to. I would 100% love to. I mean, it sounds great. You know, I love Showtime. I love, you know, what he created. I love the vision behind that. It's just scary. It's just scary. Yeah. But you know what though? You that's what you gotta do. You have to believe in it before somebody else does it. So. Yeah, it's inspirational at the same time.
It is. And then, you know, and but, you know, when you're playing with, you know, the stakes that we're playing with, you know, the common man, you know, it's
right.
It's kind of hard to look at, you know, your, you know, look at your wife in the face and be like, hey, I lost it all. Like, I went for my dream and I lost it all. And so that's what's scary about, for me, about just taking those risks, you know. And but when you see other people do it, it's like more power to her, man. I'm happy that they go ahead and do it, especially for us and our benefit for the Lakers.
I'll do so, it. Oh, yeah, man. You know, listen, I'm happy with that. I'm Showtime, happy. Man, what it was and how they did it. And they literally brought the lifestyle of Jerry Buss into the form.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody who wants to have that lifestyle that they have, like beautiful women, you know, like
but the agent that got that to happen and the person was really Jeannie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jeannie actually forced her way to or forced her father's plan into that, and that was really neat to see.
Well, you know, and that's what was really interesting about it, because like she was there, and I don't think that she really. How do I say it? I think that when she was looking at that, she's an intern and she's looking at these ideas, and I think she didn't know what would work, but she knew what would not work.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so, and you kind of see in the episode where they come up with something and she go and they'll ask the little intern, what do you think? I'm like, nah, I think my dad would want more than that. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And then, you know, just in conversation, they were like, well, what about if we do this? And they were like, mm-hmm. okay, yeah, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That I think my dad would like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's a really good thing to kind of have, too, because it's almost like you got a cheat sheet into
your boss.
Your boss, right?
Absolutely.
Be a genie. Cause they were like, yeah, I think my dad would like that.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it definitely, you could see that she was learning the business part of what she was creating or projecting, you know, her dad want, like how they can monetize it, how they could be a full blown, you know, entertainment, you know, facility where for 2.5 hours, everybody could forget. Like they created a different fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And it was done tastefully, believe it or not.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Right on the border.
Yeah.
Right on the border. You know, just being just enough, you know, being just enough to be provocative enough to, you know, sell tickets. But like you said, keep it respectable. Don't have them all in skimpy patina, but have a little bit of imagination, you know, wear a little mini skirt, you know, that mm-hmm. kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I always... looking at that I didn't watch the fourth one, but I will watch that. That would be my homework assignment when I get home tonight. But just looking at just the first three episodes, and you see how Jeannie Buss has been there for, like you were saying before, from the beginning. And it should now come at no surprise why Jerry Buss chose her
Absolutely.
To be the one.
Yeah.
So before, when anybody was saying, it's not just because she's daddy's little girl. She paid the dues. She grinded. She was in the. She was an intern.
She didn't expect anything
at all.
At least based on this series, she looks pretty good.
And she was not getting.
She's coming across pretty well.
Yeah, and she was not getting any kind of like handouts because
no nepotism.
You know what I'm saying? And then so that goes also to my other point, where the hell is Jim at?
They show him as kids.
They gonna show them in this one because
showed them as kids, but we'll see.
Where's his when is he coming to play?
That's a good point.
And how in the hell did he come in and feel entitled enough to be like he is the man? Well, you see nowhere. And if he wasn't young enough, I mean old enough, okay, cool. But at the same time, he know Big Sis for putting in the work, so that's where all he should know. He should have fell back long time ago. But you know that's why she was able to make that move. And feel secure in that move because she knew exactly what she was doing and she knew he did not.
Do you guys think, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar has been portrayed as elusive, aloof, very non-communicative, doesn't communicate much, even with his teammates, expects much, you know, they pretty much bow down to him. Do you think that there's ever been or ever will be another player that will be treated that way?
In what sense?
Look at LeBron now. Will anyone ever treat someone with the respect like this series is showing Kareem Abdul was treated? He was basically treated like a god by the players, his team.
But you know what though,
and the coaches.
Well, first of all, no, you're not going to treat LeBron like that because I don't think even LeBron really kind of deserves that type of respect. And I'm not really trying to throw shade on LeBron in that statement. Hey, so
let me explain.
One thing that we know about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, especially when he merged into the Muslim faith, he was very, very disciplined in everything that he did. And he didn't move or sway left or right to anybody's beat other than his. Mm-hmm. So he did what he wanted to do. So, and he was consistent in doing that. So when you have somebody that is consistently one way, then it's easier for you to give them that certain type of respect because you know where he's coming from. All the time, like he, you know, it was funny because of the orange juice thing, Magic being a rookie and he would look at it and just turn him away, you know, and Magic like just try it, dog, like I'm working hard, I'm trying, but see, the key to that is listen, I'm doing what I've been told to try to earn your respect, right. And I just need a little bit, if I could just get a little affirmation that I'm doing the right thing, then I would continue to do whatever it takes to get your respect, right? But that's how he walked and navigated himself. So, and I think even to now, like he, you know, everybody, I have my opinions on him. He's very, you know. You know what you're going to get with Kareem. Let me just say that.
Yeah.
So he never swayed, even like right now. He explains, listen, I don't give autographs because I don't want people to sell, you know, to be able to sell and make money off of my autographs. That's why he didn't do it, right? So, and the time I did get his autograph, he got paid to get me given it because he doesn't think it's right for me to go on the street. So we understand him. Like we just have to understand his perspective. He's very disciplined. Other people don't have those same type of guidelines and feelings about certain things. LeBron is kind of like all over the place. Like, you know, and, you know, he's not consistent, you know. So, you know, if everything is great, then, oh, my God, I love it. But if everything is, if he has an idea, he creates something, and it doesn't work, then he kind of tends to blame everybody else. Like you saw that a couple games ago. Oh my God, LeBron's yelling at his players. He was the closest one to the ball, right? So he said, get the rebound, dog. You didn't box out. You were the one that was closest to it. Why are you looking at people behind you on why they didn't get the rebound when you were the one closest to it and you didn't box out? Like that's ridiculous. You know what I mean? So no, I can't respect this dude because he's blaming other people for something that he could have been doing.
Stat. Why was he treated with so much respect at that time?
And I'm glad you asked me that question because I mean, Money was making great points about just him almost outside of basketball. Now let's look at Lew Alcindor, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, the basketball player. And at that point, you said, like, revere like a god. And if you think about it, didn't he win, like, 3 straight NCAA championships? I think he was undefeated in, like, 2 of those seasons. He in the first 2 years of his NBA career, he wins a championship. He was rookie of the year. Like, my man is, like, destroying the league. He just doesn't have championships to back it up because you don't get all those points because you just start winning that, you know, scoring that in the 80s. You were scoring that points like that.
Yeah.
You were killing it before. So everybody that's talking to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar at that point is looking at this man as probably being the greatest basketball player who ever lived at that point. Because he's bigger than Dr. Dre. He's bigger than Irving. He's bigger than all these stars that was at the same time that he was playing when he was pretty much in his prime. So when you step into now this guy, you see all these accolades, and he, you know, he's at the pinnacle. Yes, you're going to have to find a way, especially when he's so reserved. There's no one else is going to gain that much respect from anybody going in, because first of all, you know, no one's going to move like Kareem. And then let's think about, like, you know, you were talking about money. You were talking about Kobe. I'm wanting to see how the media is going to take the next Kobe. You know, the brass. We all talk is all the cute.
Anything to win.
Yeah, we do. It's all cute. We're talking about Mamba mentality. But what about when you see that Mamba mentality manifest itself on the court when he's ready to go in? And it will happen. Mm-hmm. And he will have a clone or some kind of disciple of that's like, I'm going to win at all costs if I got to hurt some feelings to do so. And he's not going to be like Jimmy Butler that has that attitude but not the game to match. He's going to have that match and that attitude. How are the media going to handle that? You know, because it's going to be abrasive and it's not going to be fun to watch. And in this day and age,
it'll be fun to watch.
But yeah, there's a lot of snowflakes out there.
Yeah, I mean, I loved it when they like when he was in the playoffs and they asked him, like, you know, aren't you happy? You know,
just won. You're like, up 2-0.
Yeah. You know, it was like,
it ain't done.
Like, dude, like, we haven't done nothing.
Nope.
You know, the job is not done. And I'm going to celebrate when the job is done.
Yep.
You know, and that's a whole nother mentality that you have to have for. And to me, that actually is the definition of complete success. You know what I mean? Like, you could celebrate along the way, but I want more, you know, and I want more and more and more. Right. And I'm throwing shade. I'm not going to try to get my best friends, you know, on a team to do that. I'm going to take what I have.
Gives you the best chance
and I'm going to get the best out of what I have, out of every person. You know, versus let me just try to get somebody that I think it would work in the system.
Perfect. Well, as we're talking about what Money Mike is thinking, we're going to go ahead and lead that to a segment that we call Money Mike's Out of Bounds. Money Mike is going to go ahead and share.
I'm scared.
I think you're going to do okay, but let's see. Money Mike's going to share his thoughts or opinions on a topic, and he just wants to know, is he in bounds or out of bounds? Money Mike, you've got the mic.
All right. I'm scared, man. I don't want to get canceled, so I want to make sure I say it the correct way.
Oh man.
So we know that we've been watching the media, and we've been watching this swimmer that has been breaking all the NCAA. She has been breaking all the NCAA records. But we know no shade against anybody's community. But she was born a he and was a swimmer and was ranked number 4,400 in the country. And now he has made a transition, and now we're ranked number one in the country
as a woman.
This concerns me because I feel that this is my opinion, that she should not be allowed to swim in a woman's competition. You know, and I know if my daughter was a swimmer and was going up against this particular person, I would not like allow my daughter to compete, simply because I feel like it's unfair. I don't have a problem with the decision, the lifestyle. I don't have a problem with any of that, but I feel like it's just very unfair for what's happening, for someone to convert over to a woman's sport and have the opportunity to break all the records that's been happening. So am I out of bounds to say, you know what, I think they shouldn't be trying to compete against this person over here simply because I just think it's an unfair event.
All right. Well, we're going to think about that really quick. I myself, because this is a sensitive topic, I actually think you're in bounds. Like you said, it has nothing to do with the lifestyle or the choice. What it has to do with is just a fair game. And there just regardless of what anybody would like to say or believe, there just are differences genetically between males and females, and that's shown nowhere better than really sports. Just about everything else, everything could be right on the same, but when you're talking about, well, who's going to put up more weight, generally you're going to talk about a man. Who's going to run a little quicker, generally it just is. It's not a good or a bad, it just is. And when you're blurring the lines like this, it just really is unfair. And how does this differ than using some kind of enhancing drug? The unfair nature for other female athletes, they cannot, no matter what they do, create the same thing that person who was genetically born a man just naturally has. And that makes it unfair. That's what sport's about, is fair, and may the best athlete win. In this case, it doesn't seem fair, so I say you're inbounds. Let's go ahead to Scott Pat here and see what he says.
Yeah, I would say inbounds, money. I do have daughters as well. So I do feel what you're talking about when it comes to just competing in sport. But I'm not really – I'm more concerned of how the rules are followed by – this group of people and not follow for others. And I say what I mean by that, there's a runner, I think, I forgot her name, I it escapes me, I'm sorry, but it's a runner from South Africa that was born a woman, but she has high levels of testosterone. She's born a woman, like straight up, there's nothing about physically, she's a woman, she just have higher levels of testosterone than other women. They want her to take drugs to regulate that, to bring that basically down, so then she can compete with other women. So if that is the case for that, which is a woman that's born a woman, then she has to take drugs to actually compete. Then what are we doing here, and what is the rationale by allowing someone to compete that is not born a woman, that is now identifying as a woman, which is great, but then competing? So my point is, I can't condone one if I can't get the other.
Exactly.
And that's where I'm at with it. Hey, look, I wish, be honest with you, I wish transgender women go into WNBA. And I really want to see what it looks like. I want to see if somebody getting dunked on. I want to see what people are going to talk about. Because that then it's good. It's because it's a swimming. It's swimming. And it's not really hitting the masses like it should be. If it was a basketball, it was something like that, a professional sport that, or you're in the soccer and you're doing more, then I need to see that. And I need that to be out there so everybody can make it more informed, not with your heart, but use your mind and look at it and understand that there's some other women that have been training their whole life to get to that moment, to have someone come in and steal it. And it's like I said, this is no shade. I know this is a sensitive topic, and I just want to be honest. I do not have any malice when I say that. I just want you to know that if my daughters is competing, and they're competing with somebody that is...
That's an unfair advantage.
It's what can I do about that?
Yeah,
I have to protect my daughter.
It's an unfair advantage. It's not anything else. It's just an unfair advantage. And like you said, you're talking about the runner. So then I guess... And testosterone levels, right? I mean, is that what we're getting to here? Right. If you have a testosterone level over, it's not weight classes, it's testosterone levels. It's like, what are we getting to here? Come on, keep it fair. My son was in travel basketball for years. And when he was in 11U, you'd go to tournaments and you'd see kids, they're 14. They're 14 or older. I mean, they basically have facial hair. They're not supposed to be in 11U. What is, I would ask those parents and those coaches, because you know who you are, what is the joy in bringing a team that is superior based on simply age or some sort of genetic feature and then beating the pulp out of younger or genetically not as mature?
What is the fun in that? I mean, mm-hmm. there is no fun. There's no glory in that. And I would ask this swimmer saying, okay, I understand that you now relate yourself as a woman, but what's the fun? Are you really proud of getting these records? Do you really feel like you did that? I would really ask that person. And if so, then there's really a problem.
Yeah.
I do. So yeah. Money Mike, I think you were right on. Apparently you're in bounds. With your most questionable,
most controversial.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to keep it right.
Is Money Mike?
I see Ivan in here. Ivan, you have an opinion.
Ivan, you got anything to say over here from Clubhouse? If not, we're gonna call it a show. There we go. Go ahead.
I might say y'all are in bounds, man. Like, I don't get that whole scenario. I mean, it's pretty unfair in my opinion. Like, if I had a daughter, I'd be like, damn, like. They're really letting them do this, but yeah, I think you guys are inbound. It's crazy.
All right.
Nice. Yeah. Cool. Thank appreciate you, John. 100%.
All right. That's yeah. perfect.
And look, again, no shade, you know, to the community don't have an issue or problem. I'm just, you know, this is just an opinion that I have on this individual.
And to be situation. Honest with you, let's be honest. I mean, for us to bring this out and give our opinions, we have to also be receptive of their opinion. And if anyone right. out there that have a better has a differing opinion that can educate, please we're feel free. We're open-minded to that. So it's not about we're, you know, closed-minded and we're just, this is what we think and this is how it is. It's like, if anybody has any differing opinions, please bring it to us. We'll talk it out. I mean, that's what we should be doing anyway when it comes to the subject. We should have a healthy dialogue in the first place.
Absolutely.
And please direct those to Money Mike at the profanity.
Right?
I'm good with it. Actually, you guys, this was a great show. Thank you guys so much. You know, let's wind this down. Thank you for Marco. Thank you for Daniel Artes for sending in your comments and watching. We love you. We appreciate it. Definitely go out there and go look for the Daniel Artes podcast because it's awesome. I think it's, is it 265 Media?
Yeah, 265
Media. What's up, buddy? We'll give you a shout out. We love it. We will be back here next Sunday at 8:30 p.m.
I think she's back.
We will be here sharp. We have Andrea back in the house. Yay. And you know she's going to bring it to you hot. She's going to rip some players apart. She's going to break down the Lakers. She's going to tell us the truth. She's going to tell you the truth on what we need to hear, not what we want to hear.
Right, right.
And Money Mike is looking forward
I'm
to
excited.
It.
I'm excited.
Excited. So we can't wait to have her back. Thank you, Andrea. We can't wait for that. Everybody else, thank you so much. I'd like to thank Theo, our cameraman. I'd like to thank Duan, our producer over here. Without you guys, we couldn't do it. We'll be back next week, 8:30 p.m. sharp. Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
Yeah.
Peace.
Peace. Profanity Nation.
Yeah, it's the new era of man for some old school fans with a new school brand. We got Money on the mic with the plan in hand. And Stat Pat to his left, they go hand in hand. And to the right, we got Simpster, he putting it down. It's the Profanity Nation, we running the town. Yeah.
It's the Profanity Nation.
Profanity Nation.
Queens, the Bronx, Stat, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.